Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
The baseball season is way too long.
The game is way too slow.
It's so boring to watch.
Shut up. Get your peanuts, Cracker Jacks, and IPAs ready. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
Swing and a long drive, deep to right.
Covering all things baseball.
Going, going.
The big leagues.
Going, going.
And the MLB to Portland.
Goodbye. He has done it. He has changed the game of the night with one swing of his bat.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Mike Lynch on 1080.
Bang, zoom, go the fireworks.
The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for a must-be a Wednesday, as it's always a Wednesday. We got Tywin Walker on the mound right now. Pitching a shutout.
A shutout. Took the words right out of my mouth.
Look at that.
Number 99 going after Aaron Judge over here.
Look at that. Who's better? To be turned to Herman.
You want to try that again?
To be turned Herman.
Oh, man. Baseball being back is great. And I'm happy that the exposed teams have stopped after two so far. Your team trying really hard to make it three.
Trying real hard.
And I'm just happy the baseball's back. It makes me happy every day.
Well, that's what you do. If you feel like you're going to, like, screw your whole team over, you and a few people decide to go out the night before a day off. So when you get busted, they're like, yo, hey, you drive your booty home. You're not with us anymore, and we're going to play in 2 days. That's how you do it.
I mean, I guess. Except that's a really weird, twisted logic to bring up.
Except when it's your number two and number three pitcher, and that's all you know how to do.
Only your number two pitcher lied about being out with him and then actually went into a team meeting about it, and then it was found out later that he had gone out, so he had to leave the team.
Yeah. Yeah, well, no positives.
Thanks, Clev.
So we're good. My fantasy team hates you, too. Meet Adam Plutko. We're on the same side on this one.
Got to earn our trust back.
We'll get to that later on.
The everyone is dead team needs the trust earned back right now.
We'll get to that later. You guys were talking earlier on Primetime about guys that look bad in jerseys.
Yeah, I
texted you. I texted you and you weren't into it, but I didn't see it until two seconds ago. Oh, so. I truly believe it. The answer is the greatest player to look terrible in uniform is Manny Ramirez.
When you said Manny, my first thought was Machado.
Oh, no. Machado is too athletic to look bad in a jersey. But Manny looked so bad in a jersey that he eventually started looking good that way.
Well, now I'm going to text John that answer, and we'll see what he says.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be. I mean, Man Ram, it was so baggy. He looked like when he would throw a baseball, like the jersey was going to get caught on his arm. And maybe that's why he threw it into the dirt that one time. Or when he tried to cut off the cutoff guy.
Oh, yeah, when he jumped in front of the cutoff guy to catch it for
no
reason.
Yeah, it was probably his jersey just caught a little wind and took him over there.
I think he was too heavy to be caught in the wind.
You never know. There could have been some crazy things coming off the ocean there in Boston. What? They got hurricanes and stuff up there. I don't know, man.
Tropical storms. Yeah, sure. Okay.
They can be upgraded to hurricanes.
Usually they're downgraded at that point, but yes, I see your point.
Anyway, I thought that was an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it was good. I really had to rack my brain about it. So John comes into the club, if you weren't listening to the end of Primetime, and he goes, I have a theory. My theory is that nobody who looks bad in a baseball uniform is a good baseball player.
I think that's a fair statement.
And I was thinking about it, and I was watching Yankees, Braves, as well as Mariners, Rangers, when he was asking me this. And I was like, okay, well, define looks bad in a uniform, right? Like, some people look really good in the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
But some uniforms, you know, they don't fit super great. But it's not like you look bad. Like, Travis d'Arnaud, for example, was up to the plate for the Braves when I was talking about this. And I was like, I mean, he doesn't look great in the uniform. And not that he's a good player or anything. He's fine. But I was like, what do you mean by bad? He goes, it's like porn. It's hard to define, but when you see it, you know. And I love that John is the one saying it looks like porn, by the way. But that's what he said. And I was like, all right, well, I'll have to keep an eye out and see what you're saying. He said that there's five Mariners in the bullpen who look bad in their jerseys.
I liked Big Sook's comment, though. Just because you're fat doesn't mean you look bad.
Right.
Right.
Correct. CC Sabathia looked fine.
Looked just fine, especially when in Cy Young's. What's up, baby?
With your team, yes.
Yeah. The sideways hat. What's up, baby?
He just wore a big jersey to cover up the belt.
He's a big boy. He looks great now. Have you seen him? He looks so good now. Mm-hmm. I wonder why he couldn't do that when he was a player.
I'm not going to go there. He had himself a little problem with a little substance.
We'll say that. What's his name from USC? Lendell White.
Yep.
The old Lendell White thing. How come you're not good anymore? Boy, I love tequila.
I like
you're like,
it a lot.
I like tequila too. Answer my question. you really like tequila.
Boy, I like tequila.
And then you got those guys like, Ocho Cinco who would eat McDonald's before every game. He's like, man, I eat McDonald's once a month and I'm like, pooping for days. Straight week.
I ate McDonald's once in 15 years and I did a stupid challenge and I hated myself for a week.
Yeah, dude, there's so much.
Did I ever tell the story that I actually stained my sheets from my sweat that night?
No.
Yeah.
Just grease sweats?
Yeah, it was grease sweats.
So
I was
foul.
Waiting for you to say you stained your sheets for another reason.
No. Hey-o. No, I have more self-control than that, I think. But
I'm not
13 anymore.
I woke up the next day and was like, man, like I've gotten sweat stains on sheets before after many, many times using the sheets, like years and years and years. These were fairly new sheets. And I was like, why are they orange? And I was like, did I really sweat stain the sheet?
He secretly voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah, it was me going to the tanning salon. Sorry. Spray tan, not the salon. It would never be that orange from the salon. And
plus it was booked by Bob Kraft.
I didn't think that was a tanning salon, but maybe it was tanning, massage, handies, whatever.
You do you, boo.
I woke up and I was like, oh my God. So I put it through the wash, did not come out. And I was like, that's weird. And I thought about it and I was like, so I had two pairs of sheets I was using. I put the second pair of sheets on the bed. 2 days later, orange stains. And I was like, what on earth? And it clicked in my head. Oh, that's right. I ate 9,000 calories of McDonald's in an hour and a half or whatever it was. 2 hours. Oh my God.
The meat sweats.
I don't know if it's meat. It was something. Whatever is in the McDonald's Big Mac sweats.
The mostly soy sweats.
The Thousand Island dressing sweats.
Yes. Big Mac sauce, it's secret.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Quote unquote.
When did we all decide that secret sauce was just Thousand Island?
Well, isn't it like mayo and ketchup mixed with a little Thousand Island? Like, isn't it kind of a combination?
Thousand Island is mayo and ketchup.
Oh, is that what
no,
it is?
That's fry sauce. Okay. Fry sauce is mayo and ketchup.
Thousand Island has like onions in it, right?
I think it has pickles in it. Like a tartar sauce?
I think we all realize we don't know what secret sauce is. It's something like Thousand Island.
They've been doing a good job, clearly. We still don't know a damn thing.
Oh, Coley Doakley. Well, we got a lot of baseball to get to tonight. Plus, I want to touch a little bit on some college football news just to poke and just pat myself on the shoulder. We'll do that in the second hour. But we got a lot of baseball stuff to get to. We got to check in on the Astros situation. I want to check in on some surprises of the week, some players, give some love to them. I've been looking at these standings right now, and I find them quite interesting.
Especially when you consider 16 teams make the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. And you told me there was something else that I wasn't thinking of. There's something else we were going to talk
A's,
about.
The A's. Oh,
yes,
Astros,
the brawl, the fight.
Fight.
The fight. We got to talk about the fight. And we'll do all that. You can follow us on social media. Mike's at MikeLynch27 on Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram at PDD085. There's our fantastic producer, Mr. Joe Fisher, on Twitter at JoeFish3. That's FISCH. You can also text into the fan text line at 503-250-1080. That lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. We've got the Beers on Us podcast drops tomorrow. Should be a fun one. We have an interactive tasting room for you. So if you jump on the Instagram page at Beers on Us, you will see a selection of 5 beers curated from your local market of choice. So that way, all of you should be able to find these beers. You
can drink them with us.
And you can drink them with us. And you can listen to your podcast whenever you want. If you need a few days to do that, you can download that wherever you get your podcast, radio.com and 1080thefan.com. We also have a beer coming out in a few weeks.
We do.
It's 2 weeks to the day. I had a beer with old Nick today.
Mm.
Just to say howdy. I was in the neighborhood and
Dropped on down to the Super Secret Beer Club
right off, Division and 12th. Division and 11th and Bearlick, and they're making a beer for us called Beer of the Week. So we'll keep pumping that for you guys, and you should be able to get that at the pub when it's available. Just follow Instagram for any updates. All right, here's where we start. If you would have told me a month ago that our lead story was starting in Cleveland, I'd be like, oh yeah, baby, Shane Bieber locked down for the Cy Young. Nope, it's not that. COVID news coming out of Cleveland on 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
.717 here. This is Portland Sports Leader live from the poop-filled Willamette. Taijuan Walker still in the game. 48 pitches. One out, bottom of the fourth. All right, go for it. Don't pick him up in fantasy. No. But hey, maybe do.
I need the over 9 to hit in Padres-Dodgers, and they're scoreless in the second. So could you guys start scoring a little bit, please? Thanks. Bye.
Preferably Manny Machado.
Sure.
That'd be great.
I don't care who it is. Machado already has a hit.
I got some on my fantasy team.
Basically, both starters for both teams. Not as good as their ERAs would indicate, according to advanced statistics. I was doing a little research this morning.
Okay.
And doing a little reading. And I wanted to bet on the Padres because they've won the last 2 games and have been really good. But going for a sweep is tough against the Dodgers. And I was like, over 9, let's go. And their squirrel's going in the third. So, chop, chop. Win me some money, please.
Side note, my buddy Jeff texted me, Thousand Island dressing, ketchup, mayonnaise, relish.
Now, is relish just pickles, or is it pickles and onions?
Boy, I don't know, man. I don't really like pickles unless it's in Thousand Island or
tartar sauce. I don't like relish, but I do love Thousand Island.
I love tartar sauce.
Relish.
I love tartar sauce, and it's like mayonnaise-based, and I hate mayonnaise.
Is a cooked and pickled product made of chopped vegetables, fruits, or herbs. It is a food item typically used as a condiment to enhance a staple.
You didn't tell me anything there.
Yeah, that was way generic. Come on.
So you're telling me the only place I can find Jabba the Hutt is in Jabba's palace. Got it.
Oh, that's why. There's like 50 varieties of relish. So it can kind of just be whatever. I'm assuming dill relish is what we're used to, and that's pickles. Dill
pickles. Just pickles.
That's what I'm assuming.
They are pickled pickles, or they're pickled cucumbers?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Got it.
There's also salsa is on this list as a relish.
Okay, cool. I get it. Yeah. Fermented pickled stuff, including tomatoes and the juice. Okay, I'm in.
There's also gentleman's relish. Was invented in 1828.
Mike, are we still talking about the night you ruined your sheets?
By John Osborne, and contains spiced anchovy. It is traditionally spread sparingly atop unsalted butter on toast. How very fancy of the gentleman's relish.
Let's sell some stocks today, Monty.
This butter's unsalted, but instead of getting salted butter, we'll add a salty fish on top of it sparingly to make it saltier on toast.
Only the finest things here. Gobnup. Story out of Cleveland, Ohio, actually came out of Chicago, Illinois, but affects the team that resides in Cleveland, Ohio, as the Indians finished their 3-game series with the White Sox the night after Aaron Saval pitched a beautiful game. He was caught leaving the hotel, going to a bar with some friends to celebrate that evening, which violates the Cleveland team rules. Does not violate Major League Baseball rules. It violates team rules. Therefore, they suspended him, told him he had to drive home in his own car. You following?
It was not Saval. It was Zach Plesac.
Zach Plesac. Thank you. Right. His uncle Dan is at MLB Network.
Yes.
Is Plesac. Correct.
Also
thank you.
Also the announcer on MLB The Show.
Thank you for that. I don't know how I got that wrong. Sorry, Sival. You're great, too.
We were talking about him in the break, so that's probably where you got confused.
So Plesac gets busted. Then in the team meeting where they discuss it, Mike Clevinger, the number two pitcher on the Indians staff and the number three pitcher on my fantasy team, stuck up for his boy. Said, hey, guys, he made a mistake. Let's not come down too hard on him. To later find out that Mike Clevinger, in fact, was with him on the night in the hallway with the candlestick busted.
Guilty. And was just trying to protect himself by defending Mr. Plesac in the clubhouse.
I'm defending my friend, but also throwing him under the bus so he doesn't throw me under the bus.
Mm.
Got it. Mm. The interesting thing about this, I think there's a couple things, and I want to go one because I know another one's longer.
That's what she said. Thank you for laying out for me to say that because you knew it was coming.
Anytime. Now, it violates team rules but does not violate league rules. We're okay with this, correct?
What do you mean?
Like,
okay that it doesn't violate league rules?
Yeah. Like, in theory, could he and the Players Association be like, whoa, man, you can't suspend me?
No, because I think the MLB made it that the players can't leave the hotel when they're on the road anymore.
That's a Major League Baseball rule.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I think they once the Cardinals and Marlins stuff happened, they went, yeah, you guys got to stop leaving.
Oh, well, good. Wow, look at Major League Baseball being progressive.
I don't know if that's progressive as much as reactionary. Oh, crap, we had two outbreaks and we didn't have any rules that made any sense because we just wanted the season so bad. Oh, crap, how do we stop players from going to casinos and strip clubs when they're on the road? Tell them they can't leave their hotel.
Yeah. Bring the strippers to the hotel. Duh. Age-old NBA trick. The number two side of this is we've heard statements from Plutko. I've read some stuff from Frankie Lindor that are quite damning on these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. I'm interested in manyfold. A, this is my team. And I think our pitching staff is the best in baseball. In fact, go look at the stats. Starters, relievers, we're the best in baseball, although don't look at the last two games. What is the ripple effect of this? Because these guys are saying these guys got to earn our trust back. And a couple things that I'm worried about is A, do they earn their trust back? Or B, are we looking at the end of Francona like we saw at the end of Boston?
Before I get to that, I just wanted to say what Plutko said. I have the quote.
I'll find Frankie's.
It's pretty damning. You're right. They hurt us bad. They lied to us. They sat here and publicly said things they didn't follow through on. I'll let them sit here and tell you how they're going to earn our trust back. I don't need to put words in their mouths. I mean, usually when you see these kind of situations, the teammates will stick up for each other and like, oh, you know, we'll figure it out together and da-da-da-da. And Plutko just comes out and goes, yeah, we're really mad. And I'm talking to the media, so I'm going to make it seem like we're not quite so mad, but I'm going to make it look like we're mad anyway by being a little bit more passive about it. And that's that quote right there. And reading that, I was like, oh, things ain't pretty in Cleveland. To answer your question, I'm not going to go that far, but Terry Francona does seem to have a...
He's also not there.
...loose way about him in terms of managing the team. A little bit looser, or at least he did in Boston. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll find out. It's weird. This is a weird year. It's not like the Indians are losing because they're getting fat and being distracted by Halo in the clubhouse. It's, you know,
I'd get distracted by the fried chicken. I mean, if it's good fried chicken.
Well, for sure. I'm sure it's the best fried chicken.
I'm going to ask Lou Williams about them wings.
They did look good in the picture I saw.
Nice.
Like, really good.
Nice.
And I bet you they taste even better when there's a lap dance going on at the same time.
That's a lot of things to juggle in your hands.
You know what? Multitasking is a good skill to have.
Especially in basketball. Zach Mizell got the quote from Frankie Lindor on this situation and them being selfless. From Frankie, quote, we have to sit and look at ourselves in the mirror, and it's not about the person we see in the mirror. It's who's behind you, the other people. It's not open. It's not about that one person. It's about everyone around you, the family members, the coaching staff, Cookie Carrasco, all the players on teams that are high risk. We're in a time right now with COVID, with racism, with everything. This is a time to be selfless. This is when we have to sit back and understand that it's not about one person specifically. It's about everybody. It's about your neighbor and your neighbor's neighbor. It's not just you specifically.
Well,
can we please, please give this man $400 million?
You won't. Cookie Carrasco, Carlos Carrasco,
cancer survivor,
so he is higher risk for things that happen with COVID.
Side note, pitching pretty decently this year.
Yeah, after he was terrible last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pitching well to start.
Good start.
Go, Cookie.
Great quote by Frankie Lindor. I like that. It's weird. So Zach Plesac is young, right? He's like 19, 20.
He's pitched great last year and this year.
What is he, 23?
Something like that. He's young. The whole staff is super young.
I feel like we're seeing this across the country outside of sports, is even though there are now worries about long-term side effects of COVID, the heart stuff.
Big college football conversation.
Brain stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lung damage, permanent lung damage. It was beaten into us that the young people wouldn't have effects from this, right? It was the people who are at risk, the elderly and those with underlying conditions are the ones who are at risk, most risk, of having serious issues with COVID. Although I guess we don't know for sure, because we still don't know a lot about this virus. It seems as if that's just not the case anymore.
Yeah.
That younger people they recover from it. They might be asymptomatic or have very little light symptoms or whatever, but they are potentially having long-term issues from this. But because it was driven into everybody so early, I feel like a lot of young people, and I was guilty of this in the beginning too, felt a little bit more invincible, right? Like, if I get it, I get it, I'll get over it, right? And I bet you that's what Zach Plesac was thinking, right?
Totally.
Oh, I'm in Chicago. I got friends there. We're all young. We're all 20, 21.
Just pitched awesome tonight.
Right. Clev is young and is like, I'm friends with Zach. Let's go out on the town.
Let me show you young kids all about Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago's great. Here's the best strip joint, da-da-da-da-da. I feel like that's what this is about. I'm sure that's what happened in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's what happened in Miami. Some of it has to do with age. Some of it has to do with just athletes, right? They feel like they're invincible. They're really
totally
in good shape and they'll get over anything.
Baseball tends to create a little elitism.
There's an arrogance.
I mean, travel ball is not cheap and you come from money. Like there's a very big difference between, you know, the white privilege in baseball and like guys that come from the islands.
Yep.
Very, very, very huge gap.
So I feel like that's
Frankie Lindor.
That's a lot of it. And I think it woke up a little bit, a lot of these players with the Marlins stuff and the Cardinals stuff of like, oh, we got to be better. Right. And you heard some players even say it like, yeah, we got to do a little bit better than we've been doing. Like, we've been doing okay, but there's little things here and there. But stuff like this will still continue to slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
I mean, any sport that doesn't do it in the bubble is going to have this issue. The NFL, which I'm sure is going to push through and start the season, is going to have this issue. Guaranteed. I mean, NFL players are the same way. I watched Hard Knocks last night, Chargers and Rams. I mean, you see the personalities on front and center. Goofy, feel like they're invincible, et cetera. They don't think like that. The MLS, now that it's back out of the bubble, is doing regular season. I bet you you're going to see some of those players have similar issues as well.
I saw the guys get off the plane today with their trophy, you know, because Timbers won the MLS's Cup.
Woo!
MLS Cup is back. MLS is back, whatever. And I just saw that.
I like how everybody can't say the name of that.
I know. MLS is back tournament. And saw them get off and they see their family and hopefully, you know, their family's been safe and all that stuff. But I'm looking at Steve Clark and his wife's showering with champagne and his dog runs up to him. I'm just like, I don't know where they've been. Steve, you drive me crazy, but you also do amazing things.
Yeah,
like,
you're really good and really bad all at the same
please
time.
Please don't make mistakes. We'll see.
Because they know they're safe because they were in the bubble. Although they did just do air travel. I'm sure that was, again, safe.
Yeah, they traveled privately.
Apparently, air travel's been doing pretty well because of all the sanitation they're doing, so good for that. I mean, you're right. Mom, daughter, what have they been doing?
Right.
They're not probably haven't been just sitting at home all day, right?
Right. What I'm hoping...
mom and daughter? Wife and daughter.
Yeah. What I'm hoping this stems from, because you see the Miami situation, we're still living in the St. Louis situation. They haven't played in the month of August. They played 8 games. I just looked at the standings. They played 8 games. No, that's not even true.
They played 5 games.
They played 5 games. That's what it is. They played 5 games. But people look at it and they're like, they got COVID. They're being sloppy. Oh, the Cardinals, they got COVID. They're being sloppy. This, I hope, is a more resonating message that these guys haven't tested positive for COVID and this is what's happening to them. That they're getting publicly shamed by their teammates and their elite players. That I hope is the last deterrent and not just positive tests. That even if you go out
that
and
respect
you,
in the club.
Yeah, that even if you go out and you do get busted, I mean, Major League Baseball is a good old boys society. They protect their own unless you threaten them. So hopefully we've learned from this and we can move on. And Clevinger will have 8 quality starts for my fantasy team.
That's all you care about.
That's all I care about right now. That's not true. I want the playoffs. All right. Oof. Man, I wish that was going to be something more exciting about
Cleveland. You wish it wasn't your team that was talking?
I wish it wasn't my team. I wish it wasn't my team. All right, coming up next, the Oakland Athletics, one of the hottest teams in Major League Baseball, got into a little bit of a scuffle the other day with enemy numero uno. Suspensions handed out, how it all went down. We'll get to all that next. But first, there's Joe with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Cash rules.
Earthing.
I think I just saw a stat that said Juan Soto is now tied or is fifth on the list of most home runs before the age of 22. And he's tied at 60 with two dudes named Ken Griffey Jr. and Frank Robinson.
Oh, all right, Juan Soto.
Do you see his bomb?
466 today after he had a 461 yesterday.
And then just to get one up like 40 minutes later, Miguel Sano said he didn't see it land. He hit one over the slide in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Something's up with the baseballs this year, guys.
No!
Remember last year when we
Never!
Said that and Rob Manfred laughed about it? It seems worse this year. Worse. They're putting humidors in other parks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen...
What?
I mean, and it's tough because does it shock me that Juan Soto hits a bomb that far? No. Does it shock me that Miguel Sano hits a bomb that far? Not really. Miguel Sano's good. Miguel Sano is great. He just needs to be better upstairs.
Miguel Sano is a good home run hitter.
I think Miguel Sano is a great player that has massive head issues. A little bit of the yips at the plate. That's how I feel. I think Sano...
He had one very good year, and then he fell off the face of the earth.
And I think he is that good of a player.
He almost ate himself out of the league.
That is also true. Again, the dome. You got to figure it out inside.
What's the belly?
Well, the dome is what like tells you to eat more,
true.
Eat less. Yeah. But then at this, you know, at the same time, it's like I watch Aaron Judge and he hits these moon shots, and you're like, well, yeah, it's Aaron Judge.
He's 6'9" and a beast.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Then you see dudes like Fernando Tatis, and you're like, I weigh more than you, and you're 10 inches taller than me.
And you are hitting them constantly.
Constantly.
He is so good.
Yeah. We'll get to that later. But anyway, I thought that was an interesting stat. I think
Fernando Tatis Jr.
I think I liked that stat. Let's just constantly remind ourselves that Major League Baseball is in a very awesome place with young players.
I feel like the entire existence of our show, we've said that, but it's always true, right?
We always feel that way, or baseball's always in a good place with young players?
Both.
I think we're in like golden age.
Yeah, but we said that's 5 years ago as well.
But we didn't have Ronald Acuna Jr.
No, we didn't.
And Juan Soto.
But we had Mike Trout and Bryce Harper and Manny Machado.
Oh, yeah.
5-6 years ago.
Those guys all make over $300 million.
Yeah. I'm just saying, since the creation of this show, we have said that multiple times.
This time I really mean it.
I think we may be in the golden age for the rest of... I'm not going to say that. I was going to say for the rest of baseball. I think we've reached a point where young players are good and are living up to their potential.
Mm.
We're not seeing a lot of failures from the good young players. Don't know why. I don't really have a reason for it. But
maybe scouting's better.
Maybe. Maybe the training's better. Minor league coaches are better. I don't know. But it feels like when you get a really good young player that comes up, it is way more rare for them to fail than it used to be. Way more rare.
Yeah, that's what, you're right. It does seem that way. Pitchers, I think we're still a little on pitchers.
I think pitchers will show flashes and then have some growing pains.
But I think we've also seen that coaching at the major league level is huge.
Especially pitching coaches, yeah.
For your pitching, huge.
For sure. Yeah, because like Justice Sheffield sucks. Right?
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be really good.
Shane Bieber's a fourth round pick. It's going to be the Cy Young winner.
Right.
I'm going to call an audible here. We'll get to the fight here in a few minutes, but I want to run through the standings real quick since we're up against the clock and I'd like to keep us on the clock. Some things that stand out to me. The Miami Marlins have lost three games in a row, still in first place. 7-4.
Yeah, wasn't their game like 13-13 when I just last checked?
Yeah, man, they suck.
Not really. They're actually playing well.
Yeah, well, I just find it interesting that they've lost three in a row and are still in first.
Well, they're tied in first with the Bravos.
Not according to now. Their win percentage is .636. Bravos are .579.
Right. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the games back. They were tied in that. But yes, oh, right. The Marlins gotcha. Are in first.
Tiebreaker. The Cubs continue to dominate what we thought was going to be a good division, which is actually turning out to be not so great of a division, as the Reds have struggled a little bit. Milwaukee's MVP has been MIA except for the last 7 days. We'll get to that later. The Cardinals have played 5 games.
They're in third, right? Or second?
They're in fourth.
Are they?
Win percentage.
Yeah, when I checked the other day, it was like, they're 2-3, but they're in second place and only 3 games back of first.
They're 5 games back of first, but so is Milwaukee and Cincinnati. and then the surprise of the National League team that's actually playing really well would be the Colorado Rockies.
I still think the surprise is the Marlins. But yes, the Rockies are playing.
The Marlins, give me a break, dude. The Marlins aren't good.
They keep winning.
Okay.
And they're winning 14-11 in the 10th inning right now. Over the Blue Jays.
All right. E-Crow, got it. But
you don't need to sound so defeated about it.
Well, I am defeated. I think they suck, and I don't want to be wrong. but the Rockies are currently...
Typical Patrick.
Rockies are currently leading by a game over both the Dodgers and the Padres, who are tied.
Yeah, the okay, I'll say the NL West right now is the most fascinating.
Totally.
The Dodgers, in my mind, were runaway favorites.
Yeah.
The Padres... Beating them 2 out of 3 so far. They're playing right now, still scoreless in the fourth. Come on, guys, score some runs.
Let's turn that game on.
I don't think we have it, unless it's on MLB Network. And then, yeah, the Rockies. The Rockies kind of suck, but yet they keep winning, sort of.
They've had good starting pitching?
That's debatable. They've had great hitting, and they've won a lot of games like 10-9.
That is true. They do lead the National League in runs scored.
Yeah,
that's they not surprising. They are also... fourth in runs against.
Yeah.
Behind Atlanta, Cincinnati.
The Mets, the Phillies.
And Arizona and San Fran.
Yeah, and the Mets, sorry.
Oh, yeah, and the Mets. I guess, so they're further down. Anyway, so that's your National League real quick. Yanks, world beaters. No shock about that. Although Tampa's still hanging on. That's kind of nice.
Tampa won 3 of 4 against them, so it's a little rough.
Shout out to the Baltimore Orioles. What?
9-7,
what,
Joe.
What?
Chan Sisko with the home run. Don't need to bring Adley Rutschman up. You got Chan Sisko.
And then the AL Central, which could be interesting.
Yeah.
Tigers aren't terrible.
4 teams might make it.
Nope. Tigers aren't terrible. White Sox aren't terrible. Indians can't hit.
Third of the way. Wow. We're a third of the way through the season. How about that? 20 games.
20 games.
Third of the way.
20 games. And what if I told you the best team in baseball was the Oakland Athletics?
I'd believe you because they're Oakland and they always do this when we don't expect them
they're
to.
They're 8-2 in their last 10 games.
Yep. And the rest of that division kind of sucks.
Which is true.
Great to say about America's hated team, the Houston Astros. So, okay, go A's, you know?
Yeah, why not?
Matt Chapman's really good.
Yeah, Matt Chapman is really good.
Really good.
He's on my fantasy team. And let's keep it there. Let's stick in Oakland. Why not? Let's root for the Oakland A's here.
Let's root for the Oakland A's.
Well, the Oakland A's had themselves a situation, and the rest of baseball rejoiced. We'll do all that next. This is the Hot Corner on radio.com, 1080thefan.com, and in your radio right now.
Yeah. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
We got to check. We'll check in on the Astros batting lines because we promised we'd do that every single week.
Still great.
Still great. I want to go on a little bit of rant about college football, if you're all right with that. We'll do that in the second hour. And also, fair or foul is Bach, as always. I'll be Bach.
Dorf.
Concerning the Astros.
I'll be Bach.
Saw something about Altuve not able to hit the breaking ball as good this season.
Shocking.
Yeah, I saw that he was going to get, they have a day off and they were going to give him an extra day off. Dusty Baker said to quote, to get his head right.
Fix that bad tattoo that you have.
Yeah, just go get another tattoo, bud.
Go to a parlor shop and we want to be able to rip your jersey off and show that chest and let your wife not be embarrassed. Go get that filled in.
And in what I hope is the most common story we see of the season, is someone decided to get in a fight with the Astros. Finally. We saw the Joe Kelly thing. He did not throw at anybody.
No. He got his suspension reduced. Today.
He got his. Well, he did hit Bregman. He drilled him in the back. I forgot about that.
What?
Yeah, he hit Bregman. Bregman took the walk and then he threw the nasty slider at Correa.
No, he didn't hit Bregman. He threw behind him on 3-2.
Oh, you're right.
Yes.
That's right. So, yeah. So he didn't hit anybody.
Reduced from 8-5.
He didn't hit anybody. And he threw a nasty face like an 8-year-old at Carlos Correa and got suspended. Everybody's like, that's a longer suspension than anybody did for sign stealing.
Yep.
Using buzzers and trash cans. So the other
allegedly buzzers.
The other day.
Proven trash cans.
The Astros are playing the Oakland Athletics in beautiful Oakland, California. Bench is clear.
Which is the stupidest thing to do during COVID. I will admit
that as well. After Ramon Laureano was hit, and he wasn't happy about it.
He was hit for the third time in the series.
Yep.
For the second time by the same pitcher.
And what? I think I heard that they had been hit 8 times in the series.
I did not see that, so I don't know.
Eight might be a lot, but it was a large number that you're kind of like, whoa, how many times? Now, obviously, the Astros probably aren't intentionally throwing at people because that would be really dumb. That'd be dumber than banging trash cans.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, banging trash cans is worse. So he was upset, but he seemed calm. You could see him looking at the pitcher, and he had his hands in what looked to be like a kind of a pitching rotation. So he's kind of like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, it was the same guy, and it was a slider that hit him. And he goes, see, you're throwing it like this. You got to break. You got to snap the wrist.
I love the hitter telling the pitcher, you suck.
Yeah.
Spin it.
Yeah, snap the wrist, and then it won't hit me in the back. It'll get into the strike zone. And he's just like, he's just calmly walking. He's angry.
He's upset, but he held it together.
He's calmly walking down the first baseline, gets to first base, and then everything changes.
Everything changes. Laureano alleges Astros coach Alex Cintron.
Hitting coach,
former player. I remember when he played.
I don't.
He alleges that Cintron said something about his mama. And I watched the 2002 World Cup. You do not talk about people's mama. They don't like it. So he got pissed, turned around, charged at it. Meanwhile, Cintron is standing there and like four Astros coaches and players built like a Federale Trump wall in front of him. Like, you can't hit this guy. And it's like, what? That guy just, I'm going after that guy.
He just egged me on. Yeah.
And the brawl ensues. It actually got pretty testy.
Yeah.
No real, like, haymakers or anything like that. But guys are getting thrown off each other.
Yeah, so
guys
Laureano,
are getting dragged away.
So Cintron is egging him on, and he's like, come here, bleep, come here, come fight, egging him on, right? So Laureano loses his head, and he sprints at the dugout full speed.
I love the sprint. Yeah, I love the snap.
It's the George Brett sprint.
Yeah, you're just, like, calm and then just gone.
Yeah. The wall is built in front of him. Laureano does a pretty bad job. He basically gets wrapped up and tackled immediately.
Totally.
And doesn't put up much of a fight. But you're right. It does get pretty heated. Guys are jumping in there. There's the second and third wave of anger, which you'll often see where it's like, oh, it's calming down. And then someone goes running in there. Like, ah, ha, ha, here's my moment.
The bullpen's really far away and I got a huge head of steam.
I can make a punch work now. And, it, you know,
I haven't pitched in 4 days. What's another five?
So it gets to that point and, you know, it's a baseball fight, which we've all seen 100 times, and it's stupid to do during COVID, but it happened, right? I just love in the, first of all, John Boy, great reaction video if you didn't watch it. I hope you did. but he had his commentary. I forget what he calls it, like the blah, 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 a commentary is what he does for all the videos. That
oh,
he
right,
does.
Right, yeah.
And he did that. It was good. And Cintron eggs him on. And then the wall forms in front of him, and he just backs up and doesn't get involved in the fight. He's like, I didn't do anything. Dude, you were the one who started this.
Yeah, dude. I mean,
he got a 20-game suspension.
Also,
bravo, Major League Baseball.
Sure, but it's also a makeup call. You know, it's a larger suspension than any player got for banging on trash cans. And that's why, I think this is going to continue. I think guys, COVID be damned. Guys are going to be like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going after this dude. These guys piss me off. I'm out of here.
I don't know if that was a banging on trash cans thing. I think that was we can't have a coach getting out of the dugout.
Talking about your mama.
Egging on a player that starts a brawl during COVID. I don't think it has anything to do with the trash can stuff. I just think you look at Cintron and you're like, what are you? You're a coach. You're supposed to be professional, and you're the one who escalated this, you moron. 20 games. Let's go. Third of the season. It's a massive suspension.
It is a massive suspension.
Laureano got six. He's appealing. He probably won't get
it. He'll get six.
Maybe he'll get five. Right?
Maybe he'll get five. And he's okay with it.
Yeah. He was like, look, I get it.
He's baseball's savior right now. Real quick update before we get out of here on the Astros and their hitting situation. Michael Brantley, no longer the best guy on the team. Huge dip. Wasn't he batting like 340? Last week?
Yeah, I think so.
286.
Mm.
286. His OPS dropped from over 1,000 to 821.
Which we found out. Oh, that's what we were going to do this week.
Hmm.
We were going to look at OPS and see what was good or bad.
Oh, right. We'll do that next week.
Well, I'm out next week. So.
Well, then
you can do it yourself if you want.
Sure. Nothing like me talking about stats. Alex Bregman makes the biggest jump in OPS to 865, batting still 250.
Mm. Okay, well, you know, he's getting up to the average territory there.
Correa's pretty much leveled off. He's batting 338 right now, but still a 919 OPS. I mean, these guys' OPS were out of this world last year. And so, I mean, I think that's really the spot to look at. Average is average. I mean, if Michael Brantley has taught me anything over the years of my obsession of a mediocre hitter who bats 320, you're like, that guy's, he's all right. You're like, what? He bats 320. And then the, you know, Springer's down, but he's not playing. And then Altuve.
Well, he was playing today.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he's back playing.
Oh, nice. Good for him.
He still sucks, though.
Oh, yeah. 191 with a 738 OPS.
Yep.
And the winner of the squad, the worst hitter of the starting lineup of the Houston Astros, would be Jose Altuve at 187 with a 598 OPS and an on-base percentage of 265.
You know what's really sad? Is that
this Hall of Famer is not a Hall of Famer
anymore.
His
nickname was the Lovable Baseball Elf.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we didn't like the Astros because they were good, we liked Jose Altuve.
We did. We loved him.
And
how far have I come from Alex Bregman?
You loved Alex Bregman. And he's the worst of all of them, I think, because he's a massive douche. But Altuve may have been.
I thought he was just confident and entertaining. But now he's just a douche.
He's just arrogant.
Yeah.
I feel like Altuve used it constantly. I know it's only a small sample size, but dude, Altuve never hit like this.
Yeah.
He was a 330 hitter consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And now he can't hit the breaking ball.
Yep.
And that's, it's sad, but not sad. You know what I mean? Because we liked Altuve. So it's like, man, you were really that much of a cheater. But it's also like, could you effing cheater? Suck.
Yeah.
Eat it.
And no one feels bad for you.
Maybe he can go deliver the AL MVP to Aaron Judge from 2017.
All of Ryan Braun style.
Well, did Ryan Braun deliver the MVP to Matt Kemp?
No, because he's also a douche.
Yes.
All right, coming up in the second hour, I got a little college football rant that I want to get on, and then we got fair or foul at the bottom of the hour, but we'll start and give a little love on some players playing well right now. We'll do all that next. The second hour, coming up here, Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.